Welcome to the 12 cast, the official podcast of the 12 point. To learn more, visit at the 12 point on Instagram. And now, let the show begin.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to The Douce Point, presented by The Douce Point. My name is Rain, and today I'm joined by...
Andrzej.
Allie.
And Dennis.
And we're super excited to have all of these amazing people here today, because this is the end of our Is It a Hot Take series. And today we're going to be looking at Due Vite from Italy, Marco Mignoni, Blanca Solo from Poland, Suarleshi Luna from Pasha Parfeni, Moldova, Tvorchi Heart of Steel from Ukraine, and I Wrote a Song, May Muller, United Kingdom. For more amazing Eurovision content, news, and a lot more amazing things, head on over to at the Douce Point on Instagram. That is at the Douce Point. So without further ado, let's jump right on in to the episode. So that was a little sample of Due Vite from Marco Mignoni from Italy this year. And why don't we start it off by asking Allie, since this song is your winner, what are some thoughts about the song?
Oh my goodness. I want to start by saying it's a huge improvement from last year. I did not like Italy's entry last year. So when the lineup came out for this year, I'm like, okay, I wasn't really expecting anything good, but then this won, and I was like, holy crap. Yeah, I'm a sucker for a good ballad, and this is just everything that I think a ballad should have. It's emotional. There's these powerful moments that really make me, like, you know, they just make me go crazy. It's not in English, which is a plus. Marco is such a fabulous performer. I loved him in 2013. I love all of the music he has out now. He's like literally the only artist I've been listening to for the past couple of months. And I don't want to go too deep into how I feel about the song, because it's my winner, obviously. But I just think it's perfect, and it's beautiful, and it's something that is kind of different than a lot of the songs we have this year. I know we do have a lot of ballads, but it just has that instrumental quality to stand out. And Marco's voice obviously is beautiful, and I'm just really, really excited to see how it's going to play out on stage.
Dennis, do you have any thoughts on Italy? And thank you, Ali.
Yes. So when the song came out and I heard it for the first time, I fell in love with it. I thought it was beautiful, but since I'm not really fluent in Italian, like I do not know it, I was not assigned the lyrics. but somehow he still managed to touch the strings of the soul. But after listening to it for like 5 times or 10, I got a little bit bored of it, you know? So I have been streaming it for like 3 days in a row, but after that, I have not streamed it for any single time for around a month now. But at the same time, I would say that lyrics are actually very beautiful after I saw the translation of them. And it has lots of metaphors, if you call them that way. And well, actually, it's a very beautiful song, but I do not think it will finish very high this year. Like, I would say around top 15, maybe like 9th to 15th position. But I don't know. It all depends on the staging that Italy will bring on the stage in Liverpool this year.
When it comes to me, when I heard this song, my first thought was it is like Fire Rumor come back in a different way. I don't like both of those songs, but it doesn't mean I don't see the potential in them, because I view that Italy is good at making good quality ballads, good songs, where Måneskin was an extraordinary thing in Italy's history, or in 2019. And when I view Italy, it is good with jurors. So juries give more points than the public. So I think this will be the case also this year. For me, it is not competitive, but the changes that were made for Eurovision make it more, for me, more interesting, because it is not as slowly as I would view it right now. So I think it is good, but not definitely my top 10.
Yeah, so I think with Italy this year, it's I agree with Ali. Like, I used to love Brividi in 2022. I thought it was my second place, and then I heard the live. I was like, no, this is going last. Okay, maybe not last, but like Blanco last year was just a mess on stage. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but his live performance kind of just brought down the song, because like Mahmood can sing, like we know Mahmood can sing live on stage, but Blanco, it just, I don't know why he chose them, like him out of everyone. Like, there's so many, like imagine like Diodato and Mahmood doing a duet. That would have been a little bit better.
I need to stop you here to tell you why, because in between, when you see Spotify in last year, you will see you have many songs because people in Italy love Sanremo, and you have few songs of Blanco that was a hot take that year.
It's kind of like bringing two viral people together, like people who are very famous together, they're kind of joining together. I don't know, I just felt personally they didn't match, because it's two different genres as well. Like, I know Blanco is more like punk, hip-hop, funk, like more upbeat rock song too, whereas Mahmood does have more upbeat songs, but it's generally more ballad, low, like slower tempo songs. So I didn't really understand the pairing, but I guess like people did enjoy it, so it did finish pretty reasonably high. I think it finished sixth. So that's I think Italy just generally does well in Eurovision. I think that yeah, like whenever they're participating, they always usually get like a top 10, top 15. Like, they're really loved by both juries and televote. So I think this can really benefit Italy again this year. I really do like Dua Vitae. I know it's not ranked really high on my overall rankings. I think I put it in like 27th out of 37th. But the only thing it's a little bit too slow, I guess. Yeah, I guess that's my main complaint about the song. It just goes a little bit too slowly, and I feel like that can affect a little bit of like audience retention to the song. The lyrics are absolutely stunning though. Like if we take a look at the lyrics in English, I know like I'm not fluent in Italian either, but the song is basically about exploring life into two different people, like two different like due vite, two lives, the chorus, if this is the last song before the moon will explode, I will be there to tell you you're wrong and you know it. The music does not reach till here and you don't sleep. Like, these lyrics are absolutely beautiful in both Italian and English. I think that's the one strong pulling factor of the song, that it has amazing lyrics. Just like Ali said, like a great instrumental, beautiful track as well. The only thing that gets lost is, I know he's a good performer, we have seen it, but I just don't love the staging concepts. Like in 2013 and 2023, the staging was just a bit bland. Like, I know like it's a ballad and ballads don't tend to use a lot of like high performing staging, but yeah, it's just a little bit too, like, it's a little bit too slow, and like in the staging just doesn't really help to add to that. But like overall, the song is great. Like if I was listening to it on Spotify, I think my perception would change, because A, it's like without the staging, and B, it doesn't really matter if it's a slow song because I'm not watching it live. So I think those are two things as to why, I think that it's like right around the middle for me. I think it will do pretty well though. Like, I'm not saying it's going to get top five, but I agree with Andrade. It's going to finish like top, or I'm not sure who said it, but top 10 maybe, depending on whether or not like the juries love it. I think it will get a lot of jury love. Televote, I'm not too sure. But yeah, I think it's going to get a lot of jury support from a lot of juries this year, because it is a ballad, it's in Italian, and just like Brividi last year, regardless of like how it worked overall, it's still got a lot of jury votes. I know that might also be because of notability, but still, I think that Marco Mignoni is a great singer, and I think that he has a lot of amazing like song, like stage presence. So I think this will really help to benefit him overall. Not my favorite of the big six this year, however, it's still a really great song, and I really do hope that Italy does do well and continue their amazing streak at Eurovision. So does anyone have any last thoughts or anything they want to share about the song?
Not really.
Ali, Andrzej, do you have anything? Do you want to?
I'm just gonna say, it's a jury song through and through, but I think it will get a lot of points in the televote, mostly because at the end of the day, it's a handsome man singing a love song, and I think just that in and of itself is going to get a lot of love from just people watching at home that aren't necessarily Eurovision fans, and this is kind of their first experience with Eurovision. I think they're going to like that very much.
Yeah, I agree. When I said like it was going to be a televote song, I don't think I said like in the sense like it's going to get like 10 points. I think it's still going to get like maybe like 100 and something. I'm just saying like it's not going to get as many televote points as like to make it into the top five. Maybe it'll be like top 10, top 15, but I don't think it has enough televote support to get into that top five.
Yeah.
It is like one of those countries at Eurovision that bring this year, those, as we mentioned, a trail back to the past editions. And I think some of these kind of songs that you would assimilate with certain countries, like with Italy, it for public can cause like, even though they might like it, they wouldn't vote on it.
Yeah, I do definitely think this is helped by like the fact that this is like a performer that's rejoining again. I like how there are so many different like performers that are coming back. It's kind of like wholesome and sweet that they that there's so many like faces that we can recognize from past Eurovision competitions. Like we have Italy, we have Moldova, we obviously have like Sweden, we have Lithuania, and we have Georgia. Then we also have like Belgium coming back from doing backing vocals, and we have like a few others who I believe were participants before. So yeah, it's really sweet to have all of these like participants come back, and I feel like that would also help Marco a little bit. I'm not sure by to what extent, but yeah, I do agree in that sense. But yeah, if nobody else has any other thoughts, best of luck to Marco Mignoni, best of luck to Italy, and now it is time to move on to our next song, which is Poland. So that was a sample of Blanka solo from Poland, and Andrzej, would you like to start us off with some thoughts?
Exactly. I think about Poland a bit biased. I'm don't want to be saying that I like the song because there will be haters, and I won't be in the side of those haters because I do appreciate some parts because they are catchy, and I feel that song can go well with the staging if it's changed, if the voice is on point, but we have the example of Australia 2017, even with problems they did qualify, and it maybe is not the type of song that I normally would listen to at my daily basis, where I prefer to choose other countries, but because it is so catchy after the Polish TikTok trends with Baby, it's kind of crazy. It just stuck on my head intrusively so much that even if I am working and I'm in my job, I'm doing stuff and in my head, Baby is kind of crazy all the time. And anyway, mostly thanks to TikTok, I would say. So I want to see what place will Blanka have. And we know that some changes like Dance Break will happen, will be this like Chanel. I don't think it would be more Blanca version, but I keep fingers crossed for her, like for anybody. Even in 2021, I was keeping those fingers crossed because it was Polish entry. I wasn't into those definite haters. Some do this year say we have no entrant. So I leave the other thoughts for you.
I guess I'm the worst person to ask about whether or not I would like Blanca this year, solo. Yeah, it's currently sitting at my 37th out of 37th place. I'm not gonna say I hate on it because I'm never a hater of anything, but well, I'm a hater of some things, but I don't hate solo. It's just a little artificial to me, honestly, because like you have so many songs expressing raw emotion, and then you have this song that's like it looks like it was kind of written by ChatGPT, if I'm being honest. It could have been. The lyrics are not amazing, and I feel like if there was something like Chanel added, like if we're talking about like party songs, Chanel had that like little environment to the lyrics that was like, it also is in Spanish, which does help as well. But like that had that environment to the lyrics that like made you ready to get on the dance floor. But like, I just don't feel anything with like Blanca's song. It just like sounds like very like, honestly, I kind of get sad when listening to it. I know people are supposed to be happy and upbeat, but it's just not, it's not like, it's like, I do love every single song, but this is just one that doesn't, it's not my cup of tea, honestly. And the running order, I don't think it's going to help a lot. The song's like right smack in the middle of the running order. So like, I think 9th place, yeah, like 9th in the running order, which could help a little bit. But like, once again, I feel like a lot of people are over, like underestimating the, like the difficulty of semifinal 2. Like, I know semifinal 1 has like Sweden, Finland, and a few other really strong songs, but like semifinal 2 is where it's going to get a lot more decisive because you have more songs on similar levels, and then it's going to be harder to pick from those songs. Whereas in semifinal 1, you have songs that are really stand out and then songs that are probably not going to qualify. So that's my opinion on it. But I don't understand. Like, we have had many party songs before go to Eurovision, do well, but we've also had party songs that have done very bad. So I feel like, regardless of like what happened, the situation in the national final, I'm not even going to mention that as a factor as to why I don't, because I don't feel like that's fair to the song. But I just don't like enjoy the song overall. It just sounds like a lot of like AI pop, which I get it's becoming a more common thing, but it's just, it's not something that I would want to see on the Eurovision stage. I'd rather see something more alternative, something more like emotional, something more like, if it's like a dance song, more engaging, environmental, like focus based, like I feel like with the dance break, like Blanca's like, oh, the song will be longer in an interview and there'll be a dance break, but I don't know if that's really even gonna help, because like it's not on the level of which a song can have a dance break. Like, it's just, it wouldn't really fit, honestly, because it's like, it's not that up tempo. Like, it's not like like, honestly, it is an up-tempo song, but it's not that up-tempo compared to, like, Slow Mo from last year. It's a little bit slower, actually. So I don't know if even, like, a dance break would do very well. And the last thing I just want to talk about quickly is the vocals. Yeah, not the biggest fan of Blanca's vocals either. I know that she can sing on the recording and on like studio versions, but that's different because when you look at the studio versions, they obviously are going to use like vocal effects, vocal tuning, auto tune, everything like that. So it'll obviously sound different than live. And when I saw the performance the first time in February, I was like, is this going to do well? And I can't believe it actually did win. I was very surprised by that. I know it's catchy, but I didn't think that this was what people would want to see in Eurovision. And I'm surprised to see that there are actually a lot more people than I've expected to see. Like, there are people that have even put this song in their first place. So I guess it does have some kind of fan appeal, even though personally I just don't see it. So I am very sorry that this had to be generally Poland is a really amazing country at Eurovision. Like one of my favorite songs, some of my favorite songs have come from them. This year it's just I don't predict this qualifying. Personally, I would not like to see it qualify. However, I know that there is a pretty high chance that it probably will. So yeah, those are my thoughts on Blanka. Ali, what about you?
Well, it's actually grown on me quite a lot. I think it might be because it's starting to be summertime over here, and it's time for this the pop music, the good vibes, all the things like that. It's really radio friendly. I really think if I turned on the radio here in America, I would hear that. Which is good and bad. At the same time, radio music tends to be a little basic, and I think Solo's a little basic lyrically and musically. It's just kind of another pop song, but it's cute. It's catchy. The lyrics a little basic, but I can relate a little bit, so that's a plus. I just think if they fix up the staging, if she works on her vocals a little bit more, I think this can, I'm not sure about qualify, but I'm sure it will do better than most people are predicting. I don't understand all the hate that it's getting. Could just be me, but I think it's like in the middle for me. I quite like it. I don't know. It's all going to come down to that live performance for me, because there's only so much that a studio version can really give you. And yeah, that's all I have.
I can tell you what the hatred means, actually, because it can be treated as mostly Polish people do it. And because there is some kind of, when they hate by their heart. So they put some stigma on Blanka that they don't like it because he couldn't manage singing and dancing same line, and she wasn't also singing well at Madrid, because I heard more the other sound effects rather than her self. So this is the point of hatred I see as a Polish person.
Also, I feel like I'm a little bit biased, and I'm very sorry, Blanca, if you're listening to me say this right now, but I was a massive supporter of Gladiator before, as it was like going on the national final, and it's still one of the songs I listen to every single day. So that's also why I'm kind of sour about Solo going. That also could just be me being upset over a national final. Like, I remember being really upset that Alessandra won for Norway over Ulrike, or Agony over Blanca Paloma, or Mr. Rain over Marco Mengoni. So I guess that's like our internal bias that surrounds certain songs. But Dennis, what about you? Do you have any thoughts about Blanca this year?
Yeah, I definitely do. And the first thought is two Blancas at one Eurovision is like a lot. So who is the odd one, it's up for everyone to choose. But when I heard Solo for the first time, I didn't know any other song from the Polish national selection. So I thought that it was not awful for me, but neither was I able to put it somewhere in my top 20 even. I thought, well, that's just mediocre. I listened to the lyrics, I listened to the music, and I found it really cheap. Like, I don't know what was the budget for the song, but it sounds really cheap and like something that would have been made back in 2010, something like that. And also, the vocally, this Blanka was just awful during the national performance. And since they added the dance break, I don't know how it will turn out because she lost her breath after walking 3 stairs down during the performance. And now she will need to dance. So I don't know whether she will be even able to recover from that. But okay, that's the choice of the Polish broadcaster, not ours. So yeah, anyways, I don't know actually what to say more about it. Just that I do not like it. It is my 27th right now, so 27th out of 37. That's not really bad, but neither that's really good. I can see it qualifying, but if it qualifies, I think it will finish somewhere in the bottom three, because juries will definitely not give it a lot of points. They will give her around 20 points maximum, I believe. And televote, well, it kind of depends, because they might love her and give her up to 100 points, or just hate it and give up to 0 points. So yes, it all depends on the performance, but at the same time, I can see non-qualifying as well, and that would be quite deserved, to be honest.
But if you mentioned the juries, remember that this year's semifinals don't have juries. So it will be 100% public vote. So everything will change in grand final if the song qualifies. Song that, as I see, because you mentioned also being cheap, it is some part of Polish music that is always cheap. It's called disco polo. It's like those 90s, 80s songs that were just for dancing produced. Nothing more than that. And this song is just for a hook that you will dance to. Nothing to catch up, contemplate, and definitely nothing that is compatible to what Jan did. And because of fans, he took his song to the national final. And we, to be short, a national final seems to be rigged by simply the head of the jurors, which is Edyta Górniak, that said that this song for Eurovision is catchy, and Eurovision wants something light. But same time says that Jan is too harsh. What will be discussed during, I suppose, Ukraine, which comes later. And this woman is the highest ranked Eurovision entrant from 1994. She went second. But now she, for me, doesn't have this authority from her voice. And there was also like a man called Egurola, who produced the staging for national final. And I suppose he will also do it for Eurovision, like he did before, because there is no other person who actually in Poland can do this.
I want to add a few things. You said it is a dance song, didn't you? And I can see Austria, Norway, Finland, Slovenia, and a list of other songs playing somewhere in dance clubs. but I definitely cannot see Poland being there. Like, it might play, but I'm not quite sure whether people will dance onto it. Like, they would probably be a few people dancing, but not the whole crowd. And I'm not quite sure whether it's a good song for dancing. Yeah, it can boost your mood if you are liking this type of songs, but definitely not the one I would see playing somewhere in dance clubs. I see it playing on radio, but nowhere else.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that, but I think I'm very biased because I love Gladiator so much as a song. So definitely when we do our national final, like songs from the national final episode, that's probably going to be one of the highlights. But other than that, if does anyone have any last thoughts to share about Blanca?
No.
Andrzej, Ali.
Nah, I'm good.
All right, so best of luck to Blanca and Poland this year. And now it is time to move on to our third song, Moldova. So that was a sample of Swarleshe Luna from Moldova by Pasha Parfeni. So Dennis, would you like to start us off by sharing some thoughts on Moldova?
Yeah, sure. So Moldovan entry is very interesting, to be honest. It has some, it is, first of all, it is in the native language, in Romanian. How strange it wouldn't sound, but it is in Romanian. But at the same time, it is very repetitive. For like 70% of the song, it is only Swarleshe Luna and nothing, pretty much nothing else. But I kind of enjoy the way he performs on the stage, his charisma and other things. He is vocally good. Also, I believe that Moldova can pull a great performance for this song, and it would just elevate it to a whole another level. I'm not quite sure. Okay, no, it will qualify, but I'm not quite sure where of its position in the final, because it might get even a top 10 spot, but at the same time, it might fail to get into the top 20, even somewhere from 21st to the last. So the juries will probably love it in the final, and the public votes will be somewhere about average, I think. And for the semifinal, it will probably be around eights or borderline qualifier. That's what I'm thinking of it.
I'd have to agree with that. Honestly, Moldova is kind of like, I feel like semifinal one is really tough because Moldova is actually my 10th qualifier, just very, very, very close to being 11th, but kind of just like, it's in between Swarleshe Luna and Unicorn. But honestly, I think Swarleshe Luna is way better. I think that Pasha Parfeni is a great performer, as Dennis said. Very talented, very energetic, very charismatic person. And I think that I think he can really help Moldova again, because Moldova may not be known for getting good jury results, but they always will get excellent televote results, because like even look at last year, they finished like 20th with the juries, but like second with the televote. So it's really unpredictable for Moldova, but they usually always get really good results in the televote. And I feel like that's why that Pasha Parfeni will qualify for sure from semifinal one. Do I want him to qualify? Yeah. And do I think he'll qualify? Yes. I think the song is strong. I do understand the repetitiveness of, like, whenever he keeps saying Swaile Shaluna, it gets a little bit, like, over repetitive. However, we do hear that with a lot of other songs too. Like, we were just talking about, like, Solo, and, like, I cannot hear the word solo anymore without just, like, screaming after this. I think that the cultural element is really there as well. Like, you have, like a traditional instrumental, you have, like, Romanian language, you have like a few other elements that really put the song together and make it look really, really interesting. I think it's a really good ethnopop. I wouldn't say it's ethnopop. I would say, like, it's, like, more, like, traditional. Honestly, it's, like, one of the more alternative songs, but it's really good. I do truly enjoy listening to it. I think the only worry is just, like, the staging, because Moldova has a pretty low budget, but we've seen Moldova pull it off time and time again, where they've been able to construct pretty good staging and do everything really good. So I think it's just a waiting game to see the rehearsals. But we have also the evidence that Barsha Parfeni in Eurovision before, because he is one of the previous entrants into the Eurovision Song Contest. Sunstroke Project, I believe, which has also gotten amazing results. So in fact, he was actually up against Sunstroke Project in Etapa Sin Nacionala, the Moldova national selection. But honestly, I wouldn't have any worries for Moldova. They always seem to do really well. I really enjoy the flute player as well. I feel like that's a really nice touch to the song. And yeah, overall, I really do enjoy the listening to Swaile Shaluna. Ali, what about you?
Again, not much to say. I think when I think about Eurovision, what the perfect Eurovision song is for me, is kind of, you know, it's got that cultural element, it's an easy listen, you know, it's going to have an interesting staging, and I think Moldova brings all of that this year. Again, I the budget's not very big, but I think that they're going to really do something creative that's going to tell the story of the song. The lyrics are really interesting, kind of this, like, folklore wedding type thing, which is new in Eurovision. It's really something that I'm looking forward to seeing on the stage. But, you know, vocally, I'm not worried. Performance, I'm not worried. I think it's going to do either really, really well with televotes, or it's going to end up, you know, in the bottom 10. I'm really just not sure about how the public is going to receive this one.
In my opinion, it is very different, because I really appreciate the song. I'm a little bit biased, because I know a different song in a very similar melody, which I adore and really like. Maybe not people around the world like this type of music that currently Moldova presents, because it is a new modern Romanian / Moldovan folk song. And this song I was talking, it is Ielele, which means fairies, by Irina Rimes, being Moldovan, and David Siente, that's a Romanian guy that tried Eurovision in 2013 and 2014, but he didn't went through a national process. And Pasha also goes with this fairy tale melody, which you may see as going through the deepness. even if you don't know the lyrics, because Suarez Luna, you may think, because if you know any language, Roma language, it is sun and moon. And you can go closely to Spain, which has Luna in the lyrics. You can go even to Italy, even to France, where there is word ciel, which means sky or clouds. This is some story that I appreciate, and the fun thing, because when I was at Pea Party, Polish Eurovision Pea Party, I saw Basia, and if you saw this little dwarf, he's on stage, he's really adorable. It was not, maybe this is the first such a person that will come to your vision stage and will make something special, like in Bilal Hassani, when he brought to people like who didn't speak and was with more kilograms, with more weight. So this is going to kinda interesting entry for me.
All right. Is there anyone who would like to share anything else about Moldova? I think also Moldova was kind of stuck between two really big songs too. I know Unicorn and Tattoo.
Ooh.
And I know that could be like a little problem as well, but honestly, I don't have much worries. I know that some might be a little bit skeptical about the song now, knowing the running order, but honestly, I'm not worried for Moldova. And yeah, so if, and does anyone have any last thoughts on Moldova?
It will
Not
surely
really.
come. It will surely come down to the performance Moldova will put out in Liverpool, because if the performance will be really great and innovative, they will probably qualify. But if it will be something basic, they might stay in the semifinal.
Yeah.
And they need to bring the vibe of the song and the darkness it shows from the music video into the stage. I don't see that they will do something completely different than the music video, because instead it won't, for me, fit the fairy tale of that song.
Yeah. I did I do think that I do think that the music video was I honestly didn't love the music video too much. Yeah. It was hard to follow like a general storyline. And usually like the music videos from Moldova are pretty good. I just didn't love this one that much. But I once again I do think that it will really come down to staging, and I once again I don't really have a worry for staging for Moldova. Ash is an amazing performer, and I think he's able to captivate the audience pretty well. So without with With that, we'd like to say best luck to Pasha Parfeni, to Moldova this year. And now it is time to move on to our next country, the United Kingdom. So before we move on to the United Kingdom, I thought since we are at the end of our Eurovision reviews, I thought it'd be fun to play a little game. And we are I'm joined by Ali and Andrzej to do this game. And basically, we're going to be sharing our top five and something that we love and we might want to change or have improvement for each of those five songs. So I'll start off with my top five. In fifth place, drum roll please. I will be giving my 6 points to Karja from Finland, Cha-Cha-Cha. Something I love about this song is the diversification of genres of music. It goes from rap to electronic to techno to metal to all these different genres, and it's this really good blend, and the transitions between the different music. It's fun, it's energetic, it's upbeat, it's everything that you want to hear in a good Eurovision song. And I really feel like Karja is able to encompass that. Great stage performer as well. Now, one thing I want to change about the song, I didn't love the dancers that much. I feel like it was a little bit like too distracting as well, like especially like in the upbeat parts. I feel like he's just an entertaining performer, that he could have done it by himself or maybe like two of the dancers, but I think having four was a little bit too distracting as well. Maybe they will change that before Eurovision, but that was the only thing that I can think of. So, Ali, do you want to share your fifth place or who you're going to give your 6 points to?
Yeah, sure. So, my fifth place is Switzerland, Water Gun. I love, 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 love this song. The vocals are really the best part about this. Such good vocals. Oh my goodness. Makes me cry. But the thing I would change about it is that, as far as we know now, there are going to be dancers, and that just does not, there's no scenario in my mind as to where that would be good. It makes me nervous. It really does. It's a ballad, it's, you know, got a good message, but what exactly are dancers going to do? I guess I'm imagining like the cha-cha-cha dancers for some reason. I don't know, it just doesn't sit right with me.
And Andrzej, what is your top what is your fifth place, or who are you giving your 6 points to?
My fifth place with 6 points goes to, that will be shocking for everybody, is Croatia. Mamacita. And I love this song because it is different. It's like out of this world. I adore this strangeness, and maybe I would change this strangeness to make people like more this song and be more into modern standards just to fit bigger audio.
All righty, so now it is time for fourth places. So I in fourth place, and I will be giving 7 points to Carpe Diem by Joker at Slovenia. Oh, wow. Okay. I feel like this can only go up from here. There's such a great band, like the instrumental, amazing, amazing instrumental, amazing vocals. Bojan is one of the best vocalists of the year. Great charisma as a band, amazing stage performers, really grasp the energy of the stage. They're going to get a lot of like the teenage vote for sure. I think they're just like amazing at this. The only thing that I would be a little bit concerned about, and just like the same thing in every band, because there are more, like there are a lot of people, it's going to be hard to organize everyone on stage to make sure everyone is seen, but it's not too crowded as well. So that's just my main concern. I don't think that it's going to be too much of a problem, but I think that's just my only worry for the Eurovision stage. Ali, what about you?
Okay, so my fourth place, my 7 points go to Finland. A lot of what you said earlier, Rain, it's so fun. It's, you know, it incorporates a lot of different genres. It flows seamlessly from one genre to another. I love the dancers. The only thing that I do not love is the actual stage setup itself with the wooden pallets. I just don't like the look of wooden pallets anywhere, and I think I read that they're going to keep those. So hopefully the hot pink dancers can distract me from that.
And Andrzej, what about you?
My fourth place with 7 points goes to Georgia, Euro with Echo. Although you may argue with the lyrics, which are not good in grammatical order and way of saying it, I do feel these words are put echoing, and it is a good vibe of those quicker sounds, those intervals, I would say, in these songs. So it turns me lifted up, and that makes me that I do like this song that once even was at the first place, but it went down.
All right, so it's now time to give our 8 points. So starting off, my third place or 8 points go to évidemment La Zaha from France. Obviously, as a Canadian, I love and support La Zaha. I've really loved French songs for the past while. I think there's something about them that just really encapsulates the beauty of music. I think La Zaha is a very strong performer. The songs, lyrics, instrumental, very good. The staging is looking to be something very like exciting. The only concern I'm having is that when La Zaha is performing, and this isn't a complaint about the vocals or anything, it's just sometimes she tends to focus too much on the crowd more, and then less on, like, it's more of like a concert, which isn't a bad thing, but sometimes, especially in like the juries, may not love this part, that it's more like fan focused rather than like actually like focus on the song specifically. Once again, it's not really a complaint because it's hard to find a complaint for this song because it's just so wonderful. But that was one thing I noticed, that there was a lot of distraction from the overall song itself because there was a lot of like emphasis on like fan interaction while performing. Ali, what about you?
All right, my 8 points, my third place goes to Sweden, Tattoo. I love Loreen. I'm so glad that she's coming back to Eurovision. The song, in my opinion, is better than Euphoria. It's just so full of passion and power. And again, it's hard to find a complaint about this, but I think if I were to change something, it would be probably the length of the song. I feel like the beginning goes on for just a little too long, and I'm kind of left you know, waiting for the build up, and the build up does come, but in between the beginning and that, it's just like, okay, you know, when's it gonna happen? So yeah, I think the song could benefit from maybe a little cut here and there, but other than that, it's beautiful.
And Andrezé, what about you?
My 8 points go to Unicorn. And I think Noakiro can bring this vibe to the stage. Although she is famous and was around the Europe ahead before, with this song, which was earlier discussed in the Dusparry review, I would change only maybe the number of different features, which maybe are the minus point of that song. But it gives me those exact ideal violins, empowerment, and going to their own direction. Following it for the bright future.
All right, it is time to move on to our 10 points. And my 10 points or second place goes to Po 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 Po. It's Who the Hell Is Edgar for Astia, Tay, and Selena. Oh my God, this song is just so amazing. One of the most catchy songs I've heard in a long time. I think that Austria will be able to come back stronger than ever. Amazing live performance. I just watched Madrid's and like Tay and Selena were able to like just like perform so well. Really strong song, very captivating, inspiring message. I feel like they've got it all this year. Gonna do really well with the televote. It's a really amazing song, really strong song. Yeah, I think that one thing that I would change is that it would be kind of hard to replicate the music video in terms of staging. So really just trying to come up with a concise, get effective staging would be really beneficial and would really help to send Austria into that first place position in the semifinal. Just such an amazing song. And yeah, Ali, what about you?
All right, my 10 points go to Slovenia, Carpe Diem by Joker Out. If you know me, you know I live and breathe Joker Out. Oh my goodness, the song Carpe Diem is perfect. It's fun, it's catchy, it has a beautiful message of just living in the moment, which I think is very important. The band itself, so much energy, so much charisma, so cute. I had to throw that in there. I think the one thing I would change about the song is that it feels too short. You get, the verses and you get the chorus a couple of times, but it feels like there's not enough. I feel like there's something missing in the middle, but I mean that's a very, very, very small complaint. I'm just obsessed with them. I'm obsessed with Carpe Diem, and I'm so excited to see it on the stage.
All right, Andrezé, what is your who will you be giving your 10 points to?
My 10 points goes to Ireland. Wild Youth. Like Ali said, I'm obsessed actually with Wild Youth because this is the type of song that really I do appreciate where I have a mixture of a ballad and some faster moving sounds, which are not overwhelming the song. And this is what I really, really love and would like to see that we are one at Eurovision. And the one thing I would change, maybe it would be this more ballad feature and make it more Bob song instead of being Irish. Simply.
All right, and now it is time for the award of the night. Who are we giving our 12 or 12 points to? And I'll start. My 12 points go to Tattoo by Loheen, Sweden. Of course, I love Loheen. Amazing, amazing, amazing performer. Amazing song. I do also, Ali, just like you said, I love this more than I love Euphoria. It's just there's something about it that, especially that after that, like after the bridge, where like the stage transitioned to blue in like Melfest, and then after that strong vocal comeback, it's just, it's so beautiful. Like honestly, like I can't put into words like the love I have for the song. I believe that this will do well with everyone. Like the juries and the televote this year. I believe that this is one of the best songs in Eurovision. It's a wonderful comeback. And yeah, I think the only concern that I have for Loheen is there is a little part in the beginning that's a little bit hard to hear just because it's a little bit done too softly. So maybe just increasing the volume on that specific part. It's more like the I don't wanna like the first few lines, like that part is a little bit hard to hear, and then that beginning of the second verse, and yeah, I think that's my only like thing that I was a little bit worried about. But other than that, I have no worries at all for Loheen. I believe this song is just truly amazing. Ali, who are you giving your 12 points to?
Oh, y'all already know my 12 points go to Italy. Oh my goodness. I mean, whenever I have my earbuds in doing something, I'm probably listening to Due Vite. I'm driving in my car. It's on. You know, I'm in my French class doing work. It's on. I'm just at home chilling. It's on. You know, it's so emotional. It's powerful, and like a Tattoo is very powerful too, but there's just something about Due Vite that is just, it just pulls on my heart, and yeah, you know, it makes me want to cry. It makes me want to have a lot of different emotions. It's just to me, it's perfection. The one thing I would change is that staging in the national final. I mean, it was just not my favorite. And I really hope that they don't pull anything similar on the actual Eurovision stage. I want to see something that tells maybe a bit of a story, because the song has a storyline to it. And I just want, the song can do fine without staging, in my opinion, but I feel like that, if they go that direction, it will really elevate the performance.
All right. It is now time to move to Andrese. Who would you give your 12 points to?
My 12 points vont to Spain. I do love Blanca Paloma, even though you can blame those air sounds like screaming all the time. I adore things that are different, that maybe I need some things like that. My brain needs it, because I'm into that story, and I just want to see the staging that they bring to Eurovision. I think they will redesign. Just to fit the stage, which looks different from the national final, the Benidorm. For me, it is just more than 12 points. And what I would change, maybe not for me, is the amount of these screaming parts. But it is on point for me. And it still does a good thing at Eurovision after having Chanel. And don't say Chanel was a good thing and now it's a downfall for Spain.
All right. Thank you for everyone for participating and giving out your 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 points. And now it is time to move on to the United Kingdom. So that was a sample of Mae Muller's song from the United Kingdom, I Wrote a Song. And honestly, I would like to start off by saying that I feel like a lot of hate was directed to Mae Muller overall, like in the beginning, I know for like the selection of the artist. I really don't understand why. It's Mae Muller is like an amazing artist. I started listening to Mae actually before Eurovision because of the song Better Days, which I know went pretty viral across like Canada and the US before even the Eurovision selection had begun. So that was a pretty interesting fact. Also, Mae Muller was the girl on the piano during Mika's song Grace Kelly. A fun fact. So Mae Muller is the iconic queen this year. Honestly, I think I Wrote a Song is the perfect way to close off the Eurovision Grand Final for 2023, and I'm glad that they had the decision to put Mae Muller there. I think the song is very upbeat, very charismatic. I'm not listening to what anyone's saying about the vocals at the pre-parties because A, she was sick during the first one, and B, this is the pre-parties. There are so many adjustments that are made between the pre-parties and the actual Eurovision stage. I'm not listening to like any of like the hate towards anything surrounding the performance just now because we have to wait and see what they're going to do. We have to wait to see what they're going to do for the Eurovision stage for the United Kingdom. And I'm sure that they're going to impress us because I know that United Kingdom has had a pretty bad rap. Like before they had introduced like Sam Ryder, I think like there hasn't been a year that they have finished in the top 10 all the way back until like more than a decade ago, like a long time ago. They haven't won since the 90s with Love Shine a Light, Katrina and the Waves. So it's been a while since the United Kingdom has celebrated good success until 2022 when Sam Ryder, Spaceman, won the juries and did pretty well in the televote and came second overall to, of course, Kalush Orchestra, Ukraine. So I do think that the United Kingdom is slowly starting to become more aware of the talents that it possesses because the United Kingdom, along with like Sweden and a few other countries, have some of the greatest vocal talent in the entire world, and they have the ability to build those big connections with artists. And that's why I feel like in the next few years, we're starting to be seeing the United Kingdom send more established artists rather than up-and-coming artists because Previously, they did used to have a new form of national, like a like an internal national selection, where they had like different songs, and then people would vote on them typically as to how other countries would do internal selections. But now, now I know that the United Kingdom is now just selecting artists, mainly those who are already established, who have some kind of large fan base on a global platform, like how Sam Ryder had on TikTok. But honestly, Mae Muller is really like really likable, like really funny. I think she's like a really nice person. She brings a lot of charisma to that Eurovision stage. And I think that all of these elements combined would really help elevate the performance. Do I think it's gonna come top five? Probably not. Usually top, like songs that are in the 26th position don't usually end in, like they do well, but I don't think they've ever, like they don't have the success rate that people are hyping them up to be. It's usually those positions before the last position that usually do the best. So like if in a semifinal, I mean, in the final of 26 participants, 22 out of the 22 to 25 maybe would probably be the best spot. But I still think that the United Kingdom will pretty much do evenly with the juries and televote. I think it'll get a lot of points from the juries because it's a pop song, but it's a really established pop song. But it'll also get a lot of televote points because Mae Muller obviously has like a large fan base, not just in the United Kingdom, but in Europe and on the global stage because, once again, of Better Days. So I think that the Mae Muller has a really good chance to bring home another like a good finish for the United Kingdom. And I'm really looking forward to see the United Kingdom in the future. They have some amazing talent, and I'm glad they're starting to utilize like these like established artists who can really help to solidify good positions for the United Kingdom. And I one sad note, I did know that on the national selection that apparently one of my favorite British singers was also considered Birdie, and with the song Rain Catchers. So I really hope that they do get a chance to use Birdie in the future for the United Kingdom, because that would be really awesome as well. Because once again, like there's so many talents that like the UK could use. So I know, I understand it was a pretty tough choice. I understand there's also like speculation surrounding like Rina Sawayama and a few other artists as well. So those are my thoughts in the United Kingdom. Dennis, do you have any thoughts on the United Kingdom?
Oh, surely I do, because Mae Muller is a great performer. She is an established performer by now. And the song she submitted for Eurovision and the one she will sing in Liverpool is great. It gives me kind of the same vibes as the Unicorn does. Don't get me wrong, I love both of them equally. But at the same time, she must improve her vocals, because if she will sing the same as in the pre-parties, she will definitely flop. She will be somewhere in bottom 10 with these vocals. But finally, the United Kingdom started taking Eurovision more or less seriously, because Sam Ryder, second place, now Mae Muller with one of the best songs in possibly 10 years from the UK, after finishing dead last or 25th or 24th for the past few dozens years, actually. I cannot remember the last time UK finished higher than 20th before 2022. Well, that was a long time ago. But finally, they start taking Eurovision seriously, and I hope that UK will get their first win sooner or later. Oh, no, not the first win, but will get their win sooner or later just by sending quality, high-quality songs. And it also comes down to the performance, because if they will be able to establish a great performance on the stage, and I believe that BBC will be able to produce a great show for Mae, then they can finish in top three, or at least top five is almost guaranteed for them. The jurors will probably love the song, because if she will sing perfectly, then they would be just amazed by her. And the public votes are in safe hands for her. She will just get more than 100 points. I'm sure about that. She might even be in top three of televoting. That's my thoughts about it.
So, when it comes to my opinion, I think Maya Miller is also a great performer. She has a great attitude. I was around her for a short time where there was a bunch of Eurovision fans, and we were vibing to her song. I was by her side for some random video I cannot find, but still, she has an attitude. She, like in music video, probably will take dances like she took to the pre-parties. That will bring really the moment, but with BBC's money that spent for Eurovision entries, not always goes well that you do a big staging like in 2021 of that big trumpet. But this year, I think Maya Miller has potential, because even though there are the technical issues from pre-parties, they will be tried, be avoided or tried to be, because to be noted, every pre-party has probably some issues. And like in Warsaw, there was a voice and microphone issues and similar stuff. And when we say that Sam Ryder was second, that he came big in context of Maya Miller, which is not right now currently high, even if for locals, because I have friends from there. And it was same like for Sam Ryder. It came like, oh, we like it after we saw it second. We saw the potential, and the UK changed the way approaching the Eurovision from it's better to take someone unknown to be competitive, because that way they were actually not competitive. How to view the entry from 2015? This Jazzy, whatever. This is my feeling. This was whatever. And now they bring something, they will do the energy on stage, like Maya Miller has.
Oh, I guess it's my turn. Well, I'm not going to deny that May's a really good performer. I have no doubt she's going to bring the energy to the stage. She seems like she's having a really good time with this Eurovision journey. Lyrically, I think it's great. I love a good breakup song. But the music, the actual, the instrumentals, the music is just, it's not doing it for me. I find it a little bland, a little overdone. That I guess that's the price you pay for being a radio friendly song. Again, it's something that I feel like I could turn on the radio here and you know, have playing. I mean, I don't hate the song. I just, it's missing something unique. It really bothers me that it's not, you know, it's just one of those pop songs. Like, if you get what I mean, it's just a
pop song. It is a British pop song style.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, for me, it's just that. And I personally, it's not very high for me, but I would not be mad if May ended up, you know, placing top 10, top 5. I think I think she deserves it, but the song is just not doing anything for me.
Alrighty, so does anyone have any last thoughts to share on Mae Muller for the United Kingdom?
Not really.
No.
Yeah, I feel like it's I feel like Mae Muller will do really well. It's pretty underrated, actually. I know it's not Spaceman, but nothing will be Spaceman. I think this is a really solid pop song. I know there is the tendency to not do well if you're like more mainstream pop radio, but I feel like this could be the exception, and this could be like a tidal wave, like shifting the turn of like what could be like the new, like you, like we all know like how like there's a rock phase after Måneskin one. Maybe there's gonna be a pop phase this year, or maybe there's gonna be like a more pop phase coming in the next few years. So we never know, and I feel like this is a really good, strong pop song that maybe we all needed this year. So, with that...
Yes, I am different because it is in my solid top five from the beginning. And that's how I will live it from my perspective.
All right. So with that being said, best of luck to Mae Muller. Best of luck to the United Kingdom. And now it is time to move on to our final country that we will be reviewing. This is such an exciting moment, but we will be reviewing Ukraine. So that was a sample of Heart of Steel by Tvorchi, the Ukrainian representative for 2023. And Dennis, what are your thoughts?
So Tvorchi and their song Heart of Steel is actually quite decent. I cannot say that I'm a big fan of our entry this year. Like, neither was I a big fan of Stefania in 2022, but okay, let it be in the past. So first of all, I want to say that Tvorchi already participated in Vidbir back in 2020 when they won the second semifinal by winning both jury and public votes, but then suddenly came last in the final, getting only around 3 or 2 points overall. And they mentioned that they had awful sound quality, like they couldn't hear themselves while singing. So they performed very awful. That was one of the worst performances I could ever see of them. And after that, they told that they will never return to Vidbir. But suddenly, they became a shortlisted artist this year and somehow won the whole thing. And now will sing for Ukraine and Liverpool. Heart of Steel is, well, it's a good song, but it kind of leaked something. I don't know. When it got revamped, it became much better. They finally added Ukrainian lyrics, even though it is only 4 lines, but it's still something. And they added the violin, which provided like more power to the song, more better sound, let's say. And also, but the performance itself on Vidbir was nothing. It was very poor. It definitely needs to be reworked for Liverpool, and I understand that we had the selection in the underground, so they couldn't possibly and technically do great performance. But if they will decide to stick to that performance, I'm very afraid for our result. As for the result, I'm not quite sure where can we finish, but I think it will be something like 17th on or somewhere around 17th place. I cannot see Ukraine finishing in top 10 this year, neither can I see it finishing in top 15, because, well, you know, it just can get lost among all other songs. But the running order might help it a little bit, because we are performing 19th, as far as I remember. Yeah, 19th. So yeah, that's pretty much it. And if Jeffrey can perform well live, then, well, we might even get a little bit higher than 17th, which I predict. But also, the most interesting part of everything is that Vidbir is not Vidbir without scandal, because Kruj, the one that came second with her song Lullaby, actually told Suspilne that Tvorchi used a lot of autotune in their performance, national final performance, and that it kind of violates the Eurovision rules and the rules of the national selection. But overall, it all finished with our broadcaster saying that, and what now? And she was like, oh, well, fine, let's end it up with that. So yeah, making a conclusion, I would say that Tvorchi can do well with a good performance, but I just do not see them finishing very high in the table.
Yeah, I kind of got to agree on this one. Like, in the beginning, I did not love Heart of Steel, I think, because I was also expecting a song in Ukrainian. I know that's like a little bit like, but a lot of my favorite Ukrainian songs have been in Ukrainian. And I know that the ones that have been sung in English haven't been some of my favorites. So I was a little bit disappointed by the choice of, selecting Tvorchi in the beginning, because my favorite was I think it was When God Shut the Door. I think that one was really I did want that one to go, but anyway, over time my I did really like the song as time increased. And I think you're right, the revamp really did help solidify like the better elements of the song, and now I can pretty much say it's a song I really like to listen to now. Like, and then the revamp, especially like the concluding music, like in the second verse, and the Ukrainian lyrics did help, although I wish that they did do it in Ukrainian from like the entire song. Like, I would be interested to see if like they would ever like, I don't know if like y'all know the behind the scenes show that Eurovision's now doing for, they did it yesterday and then next Friday and the Friday after. It would be interesting to see if they would maybe do a version of the song entirely in Ukrainian, or maybe an acoustic version, something to see what it would look like differently. But overall, I really did enjoy listening to the song. Although it's not my favorite, I could see it possibly coming, like, it will not come bottom five for sure. I think Dennis is right. I think it will come around like a 15th to 20th place, because there are a lot of competitive entries that will be in the final. And generally, the host country does not do amazing. However, this hasn't always been the case, but generally in the past few years, the host countries have not done amazing. Like 2018, Au Jardin, Portugal, last place in the final. 2019, Imri home, closer to the end of the scoreboard. 2021, Django McCroy, closer to the end, also got 0 points. So a lot of the host countries don't tend to do amazing the next year around. However, we did see that Mahmoud and Blanco did pretty well, being host countries, and they were also pretty much considered the favorites for a while. They were considered the favorites for a while to even win, so we don't know. Maybe Dvorak can do something that will shock us all and help to really increase the likelihood of them doing well in the final. Maybe they will do something more innovative with the staging. And yeah, so I think that I think it's going to be very interesting to see, especially with the live performance. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So, Ali, what about you?
I really like the revamped version. When I heard the kind of original version for the first time, I remember being like, "What is this?" And then I never listened to it again. And then the revamp came out and I was like, "Wow, like, it's pretty good." Now it's grown on me a lot. I love it's dark, it's mysterious kind of. It's got like a really nice energy with it. I'm not really a fan of kind of electronic songs, but this year with this and Finland, I think that genre is really growing on me. The music video for Heart of Steel is one of my favorites. I think it was really well done. And the Vidbir staging was kind of lacking, but I think with Eurovision, where they're able to bring it, bring it to life a little bit more, there's more resources for all the countries to use. I feel like that if they kept the staging that they had, but just revamped it a little, a lot like the song, I feel like it can do decently. I mean, I love it. It's in my top 10, but I can see it getting maybe the bottom of the left side of the scoreboard. Obviously not bottom five, but I see it doing okay. Nothing crazy.
And Anders, what are your thoughts on Ukraine this year?
My thoughts are that this song is not bad, actually, because it has many elements that would be enjoyable, and you would like to, any fan would like to take the moment. But the big minus, even if you have this revamp with extra elements, is that this is more mid-tempo song. When we compare to maybe not Eurovision song, I will go to Poland, Jan, where you have up-tempo darkness. In context of Ukraine, when I first not only heard the Forchi song, Heart of Steel, which presents me that you the sense of Ukrainian this past year and even over the year when, and the context of the war which happened and crude, I don't know exactly how to read a crude, maybe, and they had a song Koliskova, which is like a lullaby for the children that died during the war. And we had Jerry Hale when God Shut the Door, which was the fan favorite from people, Euro fans around the Europe. But all those songs were mid-tempo. I think maybe 2017 after Ukraine won, it is a different story because maybe this selection was the best what Ukraine could achieve from the artists. And I don't underestimate any song, that was in the Bitbeer event 4G, which in comparison, I wouldn't bring into my favorite because they are just simply better songs that fit my listening type. When it came with this revamp, I see the potential, which I don't see that staging in Ukraine was lacking. Maybe the way that they were doing nearly just nothing was the case. And European stage is bigger and will show and emphasize this heart of steel, but as I said, mid-tempo many times at Eurovision is not fitting. And that is the reason they Ukraine may lose points.
All right. So does anyone have any last thoughts on Tvorchi and any last thoughts on Ukraine this year?
One thing I really love about the song is that the lyrics are kind of open to interpretation. So you can, if you want it to be kind of a political statement, like a commentary on what's going on in the world, and just anywhere, then you can interpret it like that. But if you want to, you know, listen to the lyrics and make it kind of personal, I feel like it's something, you know, people can relate to outside of things like war and politics. So that's what I do. When I listen to it, I can find something kind of personal in there. And I think that's really nice.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I really do think that the lyrics are like really good in the sense that it's very open and open for discussion. And I know there might be more than one meaning to it. I really do think this is the perfect song to end off our Is It a Hot Take series. So yeah, I guess that kind of leaves us into the conclusion. So thank you to everyone who has been listening over the past few weeks. This is not the end of the podcast, so don't go anywhere. We'll be releasing some more content very, very soon. So make sure to stay tuned for that. To see more amazing Eurovision content, head on over to @thedeuceplant on Instagram. And thank you once again for all of your love and support on the podcast. And we really hope you enjoyed the episode.